Hello and welcome to episode 8 of the Redockables. A real hard cut there. I only want to see you in the purple and then, oh, not even the purple rain. Episode 8 of the Redockables, guys. It's going to be our second last episode of Redockables.
Based on the fact I only have a limited 2-week window for the current AFL league pass that I have, That is correct.
Just to let you know some news, we've got two big bits of news that we want to talk about. Obviously, the fixtures have been released from rounds 2 to 5. The Dockers will play Brisbane on Saturday. I'm going to have to redo my spreadsheet for the purple patch.
Oh, boy.
Ooh, spreadsheets. We're going to play Brisbane Saturday the 13th of June at 11:45. Classic Dockers time.
Classic Dockers time.
In the AM. Can't even get to a pub. Get a feed at the pub. Bloody hell. Then we play Port Adelaide in a home, which is pretty funny. We're playing them at Metricon Stadium as the home side, I believe, on Saturday the 21st of June.
Big advantage.
At 4:05 p.m., so in the evening. Then we play the Suns Saturday the 27th of June at Metricon at Saturday night, mate, 5:40. PM. Happy
Saturday
days.
Saturday night.
Yeah, good old fashioned Saturday night. Then we play Adelaide on Sunday, the 5th of July at 11:05 a.m., mate. What a time. So we got two games at 11 and two night games, which is all kind of evening, late evening games, late afternoon games.
Well, if you book ahead now, because you've got to book 2 weeks ahead to get into a pub these days.
Yeah.
To be one of the lucky 50. Shout out, Sean. How are you going?
It's 20, mate. Not even 50. It's 20.
Sorry, 20. I thought it was increasing to 50 after the June the 8th.
Oh, maybe. Hopefully.
Yeah. Mm. Oops. Cat out of the bag.
Mate, could be. Mm. Everything could be happening. I wouldn't surprise me if they're going to increase everything, mate. We had 6 new cases in WA today, all from a live export boat, I believe. So, mate, but that's the fixtures. The other thing we've got to talk about, Oz, is the Dockers have announced a new membership called the Forever Hero Membership, okay, in which you can, for each $100 in your Forever Hero Membership that you purchase, you'll receive these. 2020 membership card, membership core pack, Enviro bag, stickers, lanyard, pen, and pin. Priority access to seat, put up and return of seated members. Recognition on your dedication on a website as a Forever Hero. Tier 2 access to AFL Toyota Series tickets should Freo participate and games played with crowds. Priority access to 3 to purchase AFL Grand Final tickets should the Dockers make the final.
Don't Dockers season!
10% discounts on the Dockers store. A digital subscription to the 2020 Dockers Annual. And Oz, we better make this Dockers Annual soon, mate.
Well,
the boys are forgotten.
I think we are a hidden entity.
Now, Oz, I believe when we sat down and one of the caveats of us starting the Dockers podcast was I was like, I want to be in the Dockers Annual. And you like looked at me and I was like, mate, I want my face in a magazine that's there forever.
Dear God.
And of course, exclusive Forever Hero members. But guys, the big thing is you get entry into the Mega Draw. Now, our man Dale Alcott,
Mega Draw.
He's really stepped up when it's come to the prizes in the Mega Draw, Oz. Do you want to read out first prize for us, mate?
Yeah, look, first prize is none other than a Rosewood home. That's right, a fully completed home.
You're nearly going to say fully furnished.
I was going to say. Sorry, Dale. That would be a quick trip down to JB Hi-Fi and Co. But anyway, the Rosewood by Dale Alcock Homes at Apsley Estate, valued at $700,000.
Wouldn't that be an
beautifully appointed Dale Alcock display home located in Apsley Estate, an exciting new lifestyle destination, Duck. If you don't know where that is, it's roughly about 10 minutes near Coburn or 10 minutes away from
Coburn.
Oh,
nice. So call in, see the boys
train. Then go back,
mate,
to your $700,000.
Go to Coburn Central.
Oh,
mate, go down the big bloody...
What did we do the first time we went into the hub, mate? I believe we went to Red Rooster.
Did we go to Red Rooster
afterwards? Yeah, we had a bit of a meal afterwards.
Oh, happy days, mate. Yeah. A second prize, mate, was a Toyota Yaris Ascent Auto, valued at $17,990, drive away. Proudly supported by Maddington Toyota and Canning Vale Toyota.
Beautiful. And the third prize here, mate, Mrs. will be really happy with this should we get the prime, even though I'm not sure if they're eligible here to pay. But Willie Creek necklace, strand of South Sea cultured pearls. A pearl necklace, Duck, to the value of $15,950.
Mate, I looked at that third prize because there's some other great prizes in terms of a coach's box experience, a year supply of groceries, some tickets to the Brownlow Medal in 2021, tickets to the Grand Final in 2021, three Microsoft Surface laptops, bundles thanks to Computer Now.
Two of them and for coasters.
There's a few more in there, mate, but... Mate, I looked at that the pearl necklace and I was like, "Oh man, you'd be a bit raw as a docker." And then I was like, $15,000?
Oh boy,
sign me up! Yeah. Give me that money! Give me that money.
So, you know, question without notice.
Yeah,
you win this.
Yep.
Do you tell your missus and give the pearls, or do you just cash it in?
I think you give the missus the pearls and you cash in the brownie points, mate. Because this is big time, Brandon.
So you want to be locked in here in a long-term relationship.
You're talking about some pretty woman snapping the hand style.
Yeah.
Mate.
Pinchy's out.
This is like boys' trips for the next 5 years.
Oh, you're going with currency.
I'm going with the Mrs. Currency, mate, which is the rarest form of currency you can get, mate.
Yep.
Because you think about all the slog, the heartache and the slog you have to put in.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. To get some Mrs. Currency, mate. Yes. I know the hard work you have to do for me to come over every week, mate. For you to put aside time for the podcast, mate. I know you're working hard every weekend. Mate, some other stuff in here. Look, 50. There's so many prizes, guys. Jump online. It's ridiculous.
Like, the amount of prizes here. Like, even if you look at, if you go towards the bottom there.
Mate, there's $4,900 vouchers for the Dockers team store.
90 times Fremantle Dockers HQ tours, so 90 of those up for grabs, including a meet and greet with a Fremantle Dockers player. So your chance to meet with
anyone. And you get a $50 voucher for the team store as well.
Yeah. Mate,
there's tickets. There's bloody training experience for two people. Imagine if you won that.
Oh,
and you're out there. Just imagine, mate. Get out there, start lacing some kicks. Oh, mate, this guy's got a bit about him.
Yeah.
Where's this contract, mate? Sign on the dotted line. Big dog.
Oh, boy. And what's that Mark Wahlberg movie? Invincibles? No.
Yeah.
Is it?
No. Yeah.
Yeah. Where he
the one where he's
becomes a new, yeah,
from Philadelphia.
Eagle. Yeah.
Yeah. What about this one, mate? Six times Crown gift cards valued at $750 each.
Yeah, lock it in.
A little bit of a staycation. Now that we can't vacation.
Staycation.
We've got a staycation, mate.
Staycation.
All right, mate. Speaking of staycation, that's enough talk about the current day. Let's go back to 2012, mate. A time when Duck was up in Karratha, mate, working for the Clontarf Foundation up there. And Oz, I reckon, as a creature of habit, I reckon I could tell you exactly what I did on this day.
Go.
I reckon I got up in the morning, probably about 9 o'clock, had a bit of a sleep in, went down to Karratha Central, bought a muffin and a coffee, the West Australian, got home by about 10 o'clock, sat down, read the paper, listened to sports talk for 2 hours. Then I reckon I maybe would have jumped on the old Xbox and played Skyrim for about 6 hours.
I remember Skyrim.
Mate, would have played Skyrim, old Elder Scroll for about 6 hours. Then I would have...
Shout out Kenny Chan.
Then I do believe, Oz, yep. I sat down, I watched the game.
Yep.
And I did not move,
mate,
because I was too scared.
Are you like me, where if we're winning, you stay in the same chair, you don't want to move?
I was so shooketh by the first quarter, mate, I couldn't move. Yep. I could not move. And guys, if you don't know what we're talking about the elimination final in 2012 on the 8th of September 2012 at the MCG in front of 44,000 fans. The Dockers 14-12-96 defeat the Geelong Cats 11-14-80. Oz, have you got the teams up?
I've got the teams up.
You've got the teams up. Do you want to go through the Dockers team?
I'm going to go through the Dockers team. So I'm actually going to read them a little differently, Duck, in order of Dream Team points on the day.
Oh, nice.
Courtesy of the AFL app that...
love some Dream Team points,
I've had to subscribe to in order to get this info to watch the game. Shout out. Here we go. So I got Michael Barlow, Matthew Pavlich, Stephen Hill, Chris Mayne, Matt DeBoer, David Mundy, Michael Walters in what could be the beginning of a fairy tale career
The guy they call Sun.
Why do they call him Sun Sun?
Don't know. Nickname.
Oh, quality chat there. Well done, BT. Ryan Crowley, Hayden Ballantyne, Clancy Pierce, Adam the Matrix McPhee, who to me was the last piece of the puzzle, Duck, and I'm going to go on a bit of a rant as to why he could have been. Paul Duffield, Aaron Sanderlands, Nat Fyfe, Kepler Bradley.
Mate, I thought Kepler was gone. I didn't realise he played.
Yeah, and he plays four games in the next season.
Yeah, and then he gets a bad injury, I believe.
Garrick Ibbotson, sorely missed in 2013. Lee Spur, Michael Johnson, Tendai Mazungu, Zachary Dawson, Alex Silvani, and Nick the Humper Subin.
As a sub, mate. Yeah. Remember the sub? Yeah. What a stupid rule that was. What an idiotic rule by the AFL that was, the sub.
A little something coming your way next week.
Yeah?
Yep.
A sub. You give me a Subway sandwich.
I'm going to talk about...
Mate, let's get into the 1 minute to win it. Let's see if I can summarise this game in a minute. All right. Dockers burst out of the block, clean and aggressive at the ball, led by Mundy, Hill, Sandy and De Boer. The Cats are running scared, in my opinion. Mate, in the first quarter, it's 5-7... to 0-1, three goals by Pav leading the way. Second quarter, we hold off the Cats a bit as they make a bit of a surge and manage to even that quarter. In the third quarter, the game is a little bit in the balance. It's 20 points of difference. Lee Spur gets caught clear holding the ball. They don't call it. The ball goes down the other end. Ballas kicks a goal. The Dockers break their hearts. They're up by 39 points in the third, and that's all she wrote. And in classic Dockers stance, they take the foot right off the accelerator, mate. And only win by 16 points, but it's kind of understandable in a sense. All righty, mate. So, Oz, mate.
Yeah.
What a game. I mean, I said where I was up in Karratha, sitting in my little apartment, in which, no doubt, I think I paid $1,000 a week for an apartment that was probably three times the size of this studio.
Yep.
In the bad part of Karratha.
Your boy.
Mate, what were you doing in 2012?
I was watching this at home. And I just think I just remember thinking I had that much faith in Ross Lyon that potentially I thought we could be on here. And if all we do is start well and to our potential, I thought, you know, I believed in that anywhere, anytime mantra sort of, you know. But I was not prepared for the start that we had. Like it was – and look, if you talk about Ross Lyon's game plan, you've talked about this before. Repeat inside 50s, pressure around the contest, and making sure we're tackling hard.
Yeah.
And lots of tackle. Those three things. And you've talked about that before. It's Ross Lyon's mantra. It's the makeup of this club. It's the DNA of this club. But the big difference here, Duck, is we're actually hitting inside 50 targets.
Oh, mate, the marks inside 50 is mental.
Mental. And Pav's just going, what? He looks a little surprised the first three marks he takes, like, shit, this is actually coming straight towards me.
The first one that he doesn't even score from, Ibbotson just hits him lace out and he shanks it.
Oh, boy.
And it's like, he's like, huh?
Yeah.
And Corey, is it Corey Enright he's playing or Tom Lonigan?
Lonigan.
Lonigan, who's supposed to be a pretty solid defender, just gets absolutely pants. I don't know what, I know Scarlett probably wasn't the matchup for him, but it's like, man. But, mate, we absolutely slaughtered
Geelong. Slaughtered them.
Around the ball, just, and like Oz, didn't it warm the cockles of your heart, mate? Didn't it really warm you up when you see guys like Tendai, Clancy, De Boer, like all these real dockery docker players, absolutely playing out of their skin as well. Yeah. Like Silvani even, Spur, Ibbotson, like these
And there's
guys.
Key moments, mate, and I'm going to throw this at you later on. I want you to think about this now. I'm going to say this, 2012 versus the 2013 grand final team. I want you to tell me who wins the game. But while you're thinking about that, the guys that you mentioned, Clancy Pierce with that raking left foot kick.
Yeah.
And the goal that he I think it's the, is it the third? Where he's outside and he's just.
Yeah, he just bangs. So Mazungu's on the overlap and then he cuts it back inside to Pierce and he just goes back and jails it. But I mean, it's just another mark, two marks inside. Yes. I think.
I'm not going mental. Point. He is left footed, right?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure he's left footed. Yeah, I'm thinking of him like, he just always had a weird kick. But. This is the weird thing, Oz, is that it was in this perfect – this in 2013 is this perfect time when it wasn't necessarily, obviously one of Ross's KPIs was always inside 50s.
Yes.
But the KPI shouldn't be inside 50s, it should be marks inside
50s. Correct.
So when the KPI is inside 50s and you're like, all right, all we've got to do is get it inside 50 more than the opposition will win. And in the end, actually, Geelong had more inside 50s, yes. But they didn't have as many marks inside 50.
That's correct.
And we just, I mean, the marks inside 50, mate, I was like, what is going on? And I think that was one of the big surprises to Dockers fans in general is that Geelong actually looked like they didn't have enough defenders and they were trying to play like a loose in the forward line. I was like, mate, what is going on here? Like, very, very interesting, Oz. But let's get into some GBD.
Ooh.
If you can play the music, mate.
Let's
see if you can get the right one.
I'm going to go with this one.
There we go. Well done, Oz. All right, just on the good guys, man, Pav, how good was he, Oz?
Oh, God.
Mate, it's actually really interesting that Pav...
Pavalicious.
Pav got an All-Australian in 2008, I believe, and that's his last All-Australian.
Right.
So he doesn't get an All-Australian this year. Mate, kicked six straight, six marks inside 50... Led the way. Great little fist pump as well. That goal kicks in the third quarter where it's kind of the game's in the balance.
Yes.
And he turns Lonergan inside out, right? Turns him inside out, gets in, gives to go, and then just jails it. It's like, mate, that is just like awesome.
Yes.
That made me so hot and heavy watching that one, mate. Mate, he'd kicked 51 goals since round 10.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
And...
I could check that stat because I thought, is that legit?
Mate, this is another thing. I was going to talk about it later, but Tom Hawkins is the All-Australian full forward this year. Now, if I'm an All-Australian selector, let's just sit down and go, all right, Tom Hawkins, you're playing on Zach Dawson.
Yeah.
And Matthew Pavlich, you're playing on Tom Lonergan and Matthew Scarlett and all these great Geelong defenders are the world's best defenders.
Yeah.
And Pav's just going six straight. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mother, for the Rabbits, mate. And just absolutely horned her. And I believe at one stage, I think he was maybe even leading the... Well, he went past Jack Revolt. So I don't know if he won. Because maybe Hawkins won the Coleman that year. I don't know.
Right.
Which is fair dogs if he won the Coleman to probably get into the All-Australian side. But, mate, Ballers at his best.
Oh, boy.
Ballers at his best. Mate, does Ballers love playing Geelong?
Yes. Yes. Every player has a bunny team.
Yeah.
Shout out, Luke Hagan. But in theory... When you look at Fremantle history, especially during our successful periods, Geelong are our bunny team. Yeah. If we had have played Geelong in the grand final, if they just had have got their butt in gear to beat Hawthorn, we'd be playing Geelong.
Probably would have beaten them.
And beaten them.
Yeah.
But anyway, look, long story short, I'm not talking about the 2013 season, but the 2012 here. Yeah, Hayden Ballantyne and Geelong, there's something there. There's something a spark. About
And they start and they boo him from the very first possession. From the
very first, yeah.
So he kicks three straight. He has four tackles, but his pressure is just immense and you can't measure that pressure.
Yeah.
I thought the midfield of Barlow, Mundy and Hill, all dominant in the guts, mate. Mundy through traffic was so slick. Oh. Barlow, back from his broken leg and playing 24 games.
Yes.
I know it was, I don't think he had his broken leg a couple of years beforehand, but... Mate, 27 disposals and 11 tackles. Mundy's dominant. Hill, he hurts his ankle and his shoulder in this game, but still manages to
finish it
off. He's silk, mate. So good. And he missed a few sitters to put the game to bed.
Yeah,
even in the first quarter. And I'll talk about the Dockery with the missing the sitters, mate. Nanny McPhee, 11 marks. Dominant across halfback. His second last game for the Dockers, mate. And he was only 30 years old. So, Oz, can you tell us...
Yes.
What happened to Nanny McPhee, a.k.a. Skeletor, a.k.a. Adam McPhee, a.k.a. the Yo-Yo Man?
Yep.
What happened to him, mate?
Look, because following the end of the season, signs a one-year extension, and then following the signing of the one-year extension, the month after, he actually retires from the game in order to work with the family business, which I believe is in sort of security stuff like tasers and all sorts of stuff. Ends up moving back over east. And I believe that you know, some people, you know, mention that it's to do with, you know, the missile and all that sort of stuff as well, as in making sure the family's back home. But, you know, going back to what you were saying, the Matrix for me was the last piece in the puzzle.
Mm.
I loved Adam McPhee. I've got a badge of Adam McPhee on my scarf. I've only got two badges. One is McPhee and the other is Zach Dawson for polar opposites.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, sorry. No, I've got three. I lie. The third one's Daniel Pearce.
But Adam McPhee and Zach Dawson, very much the yin and yang of the defence.
But McPhee marks, kicks. He plays. He can play off his man.
Play
he can
big, deliver. Play small.
Yes, he can.
You know, like the guy won a fairest and best at St Kilda. Oh, St Kilda. Essendon,
yeah.
At Essendon. Mate, he was really solid. And like you just think,
18 disposals.
Mate, he kills it in this game. Yeah. He's so good. And I know the whole team defence and the back six in particular are really great, or back seven because they rolled one back. But mate, he is so good. And you think this is the second last game he plays for the Dockers. Mate, you got to remember as well, no Luke McFarlane, who's an All-Australian this
year.
Yes,
correct.
And absolutely killing it. So, you know, and you think to 2013, how good is McPhee on someone like Gunston?
Yeah.
You know, well, how good's McPhee on Gunston, mate? Like,
so, okay.
I know we're going to talk about 2013 next week, but, I mean, what's going on there?
Look, I look at this and I actually did the deep dive because I said to you today, I said, mate, I'm going to go all in.
Yeah.
And I'm going to compare this 2012 game, as in the team, versus the grand final team. And my personal belief is, based on who we've got, this 2012 team is better. It's a better balanced team because we got a little bit more pace, but we've got more polish. And I also think that at the time you had... I mean, Chris, this is Chris Mayne's season where he just starts kicking goals out of nowhere.
Well, mate, Mayne comes second in the Doig, wins a Players Player Award.
Yep.
And he just turns it on, mate. Kicks 39 goals.
Yep.
Tackling pressure is immense. You know, like he's unbelievable, Chris Mayne. And Oz, can I ask a question?
Go.
Do you think Chris Mayne had been visiting hospitals yet? Because...
Oh, you think he goes... Well, this is...
I think as soon as he starts visiting children's hospital, his form goes out the window.
Well, look, he kicks 39 in this season. He kicks 37 the following season. And then it changes dramatically after that. I think his value, this is the apex for him.
And he apex Mainy.
Yeah, and he basically gets the value out of this season. But he is not only tackling but kicking goals.
Yeah.
Which is important. And Ballantyne's the same.
Yeah.
So Ballantyne... next season anyway, and I'll talk about this later. Like there's the patches there where he's really lean. But this team, like you cannot deny that the lineup of this team, even with Kepler, I think it's a better balanced team because you've got Sandilands as obviously your big ruckman, and then you've got Kepler who can pinch hit in there.
Yeah.
So you're not really exposed. Whereas if you look at the 2013 lineup where you get Zach Clark and you get Sandilands against, I mean, if you look at...
Kepler's just a better forward than Zach Clark.
Yes.
And that's where the trade-off is.
Yes.
It's like he may not... You lose a little bit in the ruck, but he's good enough to compete.
Yeah.
And he's a way better forward. And, you know, Kepler's the kind of guy that you think could have done anything on grand final day.
Yeah.
You know, he's the one who could provide a spark because he's just such a... enigmatic, such a mystery of a player.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Yeah.
And as well, you know, Clark's played, what, like 20 games at that stage? Bradley's played 100. So that experience... And the one thing, Oz, that you've got to say, really, the difference between the sides, and I know we're not talking about the 2013 grand final now, but Hale versus Clark is a key component of that 2013 grand final loss. The fact that Zach Clark got... beaten comprehensively around the ground by Hale and in the ruck as well.
Yeah.
And Hale was good for Hawthorn and Clark was bad for the Dockers.
Yep. And obviously Sandilands took care of West, but
Campbell?
Took care of Max Bailey, sorry.
Bailey or Campbell? Bailey.
Bailey.
They always had random ruckman, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah. Flags, right? My bad on that one. Yeah, no,
that's fine. Don't worry about
it. So question to you. This 2012 team plays the 2013 grand final team. Who wins?
I mean, the difference, I guess, do you take the players as their name or do you take
take it as they were playing at the time.
Because McFarlane and Johnson are both injured in the grand final.
Yep.
And McFarlane doesn't play in this game and you've got McPhee. Ibbotson plays. You've got Sutcliffe playing in the Grandy and Neil.
See, Ibbotson didn't play in the Grand Final.
Yeah, see, Ibbotson didn't play, so he plays there. But you've got Fife a year older and Sonny a year older.
Yep.
So
I'll give you those two.
But that's pretty good. Pab's a year older, but that's on the wrong side of 30.
He's also a little injury.
Yeah.
Wasn't there an Achilles thing there as well?
Pav in the next game after this elimination final in the semi-final has a sore back.
Yep.
Probably from carrying the team.
I just think this team is that good.
It's a very good team, mate. And when you think as well, Oz, and I know I'm treading on the second segment part, but they're up by 27 points at the 16-minute mark of the second quarter in Adelaide.
Yep.
You know, mate, and they had all the momentum and all everything momentum was carrying them forward. And then I think Tex Walker kicks a goal right on the siren, and then he kicks two more.
Takes hold of
and
Silvani,
Stephen Hill misses an absolute sitter. And yeah, Silvani's, I mean, that's the weak link, mate. Silvani, bro. I was like, when he was playing, I was like, Silvani's still playing? But I think about it, wasn't Silvani on our list until like 2 years ago? How long was Silvani playing for the Dockers?
Yeah, he's been around, mate.
Because he was on the Carlton list for a couple of years. Mm. Mate, old sausage Silvani. And speaking of Silvani, Oz, mate, I thought Spur, Duffield, Ibbotson, MJ, sausage Silvani and Dawson, mate, with no Luke McFarlane, we're a great team defence.
Oh, boy.
And just absolutely dominated. I mean, you keep Geelong, who was a fast-flowing, free-scoring team, to 1 point in the first quarter when the game is there, you know, and even in the second and third quarter, they were right on top. Mate, Creepy Crowley.
Yeah, I was just going to say, good, go.
Great job on Kelly. And Kelly gets so nasty with him. He elbows Tendai in the head. I don't know how many Kelly got for that, but he should have got a couple of weeks at least.
He's got a hard head, Tendai.
Mate, Tendai jumps straight back up, and BT says that's something that will maybe get him off. It's like, he elbowed him straight in the head. Mate, the first quarter, Oz, question. Is it the best quarter in Dockers history?
Yes. Yep.
5-7.
Because of the... the actual weighting of the game.
Yeah.
Like what it meant to the football club. Yeah, absolutely.
Now,
and every player's on fire. Like I would have loved to have been. We got to get, shout out Wardy. How you go? I'm not sure if he still listens to us because he doesn't have to anymore. But I'd love to get Wardy on the show and talk about like the Grandy, mainly to talk about.
You know, I had to stand and watch it.
Yeah.
On sidelines.
But I mean, like just to talk about what Ross said to the players.
Yeah.
Like I can't imagine what he would have said to the guys to get them that fired up, but they weren't over-aroused on that arousal curve that we keep talking about.
It was, mate, it was peak. It was kind of like the peak because the peak went for 3 years, but 12, like the back end of 12.
Yep, into 13. And 13, then
14. And then 15, it's the front half of 15, and then the drop comes down. And it's very much, they've still got that aggressive attacking mentality, the Dockers. They've got a really good balanced side, but he's got the most out of the nuffy under guys worker bees.
Yeah.
And man, just the immense pressure, you know. And you look at someone like De Boer, and he misses a sitter, but he's pressure and he's hard as a cat's head, mate. Yeah. And he's in at the contest.
Quick.
And there's one point in the third quarter the second quarter, he drops a mark, drops a sitter, coming back with flight. Classic. This is classic De Boer. Drops a mark, going back with the flight. Then turns around, just absolutely smashes this guy in the contest, picks up the ball and gets it going. And it's like, well, if De Boer doesn't drop that mark, which is a fundamental skill error, but then he makes up for it.
Yeah.
Whereas like as soon as those better players start to drop off a bit and those worker bees get exposed more, then we saw the drop off a fair bit.
Yeah.
But I mean, this team's right in the firing line, mate. Did you have any other goods that I haven't mentioned?
I
pretty much mentioned the whole team.
Yeah, the whole team, mate. Yeah. I thought it was fantastic. And the super sub, Nicky Subin, comes on. Now, the question I have for you is there a sense of irony in that final quarter when he actually comes on and he actually pings someone for holding the ball? And is this the antithesis of my humps? I mean, is this not what it's about?
Well, I mean, the Subs, mate, just seeing him in the green vest, really, it warmed me up, mate. It made me happy, and I was excited to see him, mate. And it's weird. The sub was such a weird rule.
Yeah.
It was just so crap by the AFL. Mate, and of course, I mean, I put it in the dockery, Subs. Subs is the sub. The Subin sub, mate. Nothing better. Oh, yeah, the hump, man. Mate, I miss this one.
I miss this.
I mean, him humping the ball is one of the all time. And he'd look up with like an angry, shocked face. He'd be like, how's I holding the ball? And be like, Mate, very interesting there with the old hump man, a.k.a. Nick Suburban. Did he win a Brownlow this year, according to the Doker? Pretty sure he did. One of his four Brownlows, surely. Mate, into the bad. Obviously, De Boer misses a chance from about 20 metres out. MJ misses a classic sitter. In the second quarter, with about 13 seconds to go, there's a throw-in and Mackie still manages to get a shot off, and he just misses. And if he kicks that goal, they've got all the momentum.
Yeah.
The Dockers had 14 scoring shots in a row, Oz, at one stage, and they kicked 6 goals, 8.
Yep.
So classic Dockers there where the game could have been dead and buried. Into the Dockery, mate. Then this is in the first quarter, mate. I saw these chances. Duffield has a chance to run into an open goal from about 40 metres out, and Maine comes the other way and knocks him over. Pav and Ballantyne run into each other when they're both front and centre, and that like either of them. Ballantyne's kind of going away from the goal, so would have snapped it over his shoulder. That's his bread and butter. Pav's running straight into goal. Hill misses a goal when the ball comes over the top.
Yes.
Mzungu misses a mark when it's actually clear there for him to mark. Mate, the Dockers could have kicked like 12 goals in the first quarter. Yeah. Like, you know, they kicked 5 goals, 7.
Yep.
Mate, there's no reason why they couldn't have kicked even more. They absolutely dominated. Mate, the purple kit in Victoria.
Oh, yeah.
Anytime we play Geelong, we should be wearing purple.
Purple.
Anytime we play Collingwood, I reckon wear purple.
Yeah.
Let's try and wear purple more.
The purple socks.
The Mundy's socks look very dark purple, which I was, and he's got real black shoes on. I was really excited by Mundy. Yeah. He looked real slick.
Yeah.
The hashtag forgotten in WA that someone read, they keep on saying they've got messages when they've actually got tweets, the commentary team, which I found quite funny. But Oz, on that,
are you going to read out a message here?
Read out a message?
No, I thought that's where you're going. Can I just quickly jump in?
Yeah.
Everyone talking about Pav being forgotten, and I think I counted at least 6 times.
Oh yeah,
where they actually say he is a superstar.
Yeah,
like so. Do we acknowledge that because they said it that they agree to it, or the rest of the AFL over there don't understand?
Oh mate, they don't get it. Yeah. Mate. We're just over it, mate. Can I ask you this, Oz?
Go.
Is Clancy the worst player that BT loves? Think of BT's love. He loves Orazio. Yeah, he loves the guys with the weird names. But Clancy.
I've got Clancy stats for next year, by the way. How many games he plays.
Isn't Clancy one of the... And he was a solid player, but he wasn't anything outstanding.
I'm putting this out there, mate. I think Clancy should have played in the grand final.
In 2013?
In 2013. And he started... I've got it all listed here. How many
we'll
games
talk
he
about
played.
It next we'll week. We'll talk about it next week. You've got the research for next week.
You know why? You know why? I think because... You're going to get the same thing that Ross asks and demands from his players at the time, which was, of course, hard at it, tackling machine, repeated efforts.
Yeah, I love that.
And you know you're going to get what you're going to get from him is what you'll get from Lee Spur, the old cat tens now and then, and that sort of stuff. Yeah. But I always understood what you were going to get from Clancy Pierce.
Yeah.
So. No, I don't think he's necessarily... Or is it the worst player that BT loves?
BT loves.
Ah, well, I really only know Orazio...
And Louis. Louis. I'm just trying to think of a list of BT's favourite players and the people that he always says their name really weird. But he loves Clancy Pierce. He loves people from Mandurah as well. Because he's from Mandurah, obviously. Yeah. All right, Oz, on that note, let's take a break. When we come back, guys, we'll talk about the 2012 season in general. And tell you what an absolute ripper.
Mate, this one's COVID struggles, but I tell you, mate, Pav didn't struggle with his 6 goals in that game.
Welcome back to episode 8 of the Redockables. We're talking elimination final 2012, one of the great Dockers games. Now, Oz, I had a good chat to Bretto from the Dockers. We're talking about the prizes that are coming out with the hero membership and the fact that you can win a brand new house, mate.
Yep.
brand new car, brand new pearl necklace, plenty of different things to win. Jump on the website to have a look. I think it's Fremantle.com slash, I should know what the website is, mate. Hang on.
Yeah,
it's
so how do we actually do this?
Fremantlefc.com.au/forever.
Now, how do we actually do this, mate?
You jump on there, mate. Yep. You click on the thing. You sign up for a $100 membership, mate.
Yep.
To help the club stay forever.
Yep.
And I believe Dale Alcott actually had a pretty good bit of banter where he said on the radio, he said there was an Eagles fan that signed up for it because he's like, I hate the Dockers so much that I couldn't bear to not have them in my life, just hating them. So, you know.
Yeah.
Very interesting, but fair enough. You know, it's a really great initiative by the Dockers to...
Well, good point, mate. There's actually some Chardonnay there that he could win, so, you know.
To get on board and get around the club that we all love, Oz, you know. And everyone out there that listens to this is a diehard Dockers fan, and, you know, in order to keep the club alive and keep it going and keep it at its absolute apex, mate, we need a little bit of financial backing.
Absolutely. Now, before we go any further, Duck... Last week, or it could have been the week before because I'm struggling to remember these things.
Yeah.
We talked about the link between Michael Jordan and the Fremantle Dockers.
Oh, yeah.
And it has been confirmed that a one G Neesham and an assistant coach went to the Bulls facility at the bequest of Luke Longley. And that was the very same training session that Michael Jordan may or may not have had a fisticuff with Steve Kerr. What? Michael Jordan went up to the Australian boys and said, that never happened. You didn't see it. And so Jerob Neesham on radio acknowledged that he saw it happen.
Oh, my God.
Doesn't talk about it. It's official. Jordan knows the Dockers.
Now,
it's official.
Did he say, I learned that watching? Oh, no, it would have been too early.
Too early for the demolition derby.
He's on board. She goes,
I've got a feeling this guy's going to do it in a few years.
Or was it, did Neesham come back and whisper it in to kick it?
Ooh.
When the time comes.
When the time comes.
I've seen MJ do this.
Yeah. He's got chips.
Just go swinging.
Mm.
Oh, man, that's mental. I mean, we need it because it is one of the, maybe it should be the goal of the Purple Rain.
Yes.
Is to find out whether or not
just get Michael Jordan yeah.
watched
a Fremantle
did
Dockers
he
game.
Watch Fremantle Dockers AFL matches?
We have fans out there, well, people who listen.
There must be someone who knows Luke Longley for a start. Because Luke Longley goddamn lives in Denmark, mate. He's from WA.
Yeah.
If you know Luke Longley, guys, you need to get him to hit us up. Did Luke Longley force Phil Jackson, Michael Jordan to watch the Fremantle Dockers, and from there they developed the triangle offense. Is that what is that what kind of thing?
I think we
because
are.
When you think about it, now I don't know anything about the triangle offense, mate, because I don't know much about basketball.
Well,
but how much is it probably similar to how the Dockers played early on?
Ooh.
With the keep the ball, the move it around.
Yeah, look, similarities. Yeah, similarities. Yeah, there's many options. Yeah.
Is the triangle offense, did it start in water polo maybe? Was Neesham the one who said, you guys are thinking square, box?
Yeah.
I want you to turn that frown upside down and give me a triangle, baby.
Yeah, look, maybe he ripped it off the father of the triangle who was the assistant coach at the Chicago Bulls. Maybe.
Maybe it was Neesham.
Maybe Neesham. Even though
very, very
interesting,
when
it developed it a long time ago. But that's
very, very interesting.
Neither here nor there.
Mate, let's get into 2012. Oh. Look, the 2012 season starts. Well, the 2011 season finishes.
Yeah.
I remember Oz. Okay, so I was, what was I doing in 2011? I was working, I wasn't working. I was doing my teacher's training, mate.
Yep.
That's a real old school. My diploma in education.
All right. Were you doing ATP at the time?
I was at UWA, so there's only two things. So, but I remember I went to MLC. I got asked to umpire a game of basketball at MLC.
Oh, boy.
So I went and umpired a game, got like 20 or 30 bucks or something, and jumped in the car. Yep. And shout out to my man Rendog, who messaged me and was like, mate, Harvey just got sacked. Because the initial news wasn't, we've got Ross Lyon. The initial news was, Mark Harvey has been sacked. Because in 2010, we make the finals. 2011, we regress a bit.
Yep.
And then it's like, what? Then we got Ross Lyon and it was like, whoa.
Yeah.
What is happening?
Yeah.
So it's our first season under Ross Lyon, mate.
Watershed moment.
You know, at one stage we're 6-7 after round 14.
Yep.
We're 6-7. We go on to win 9 of the next 10 matches in the regular season. Obviously, 10 of the next 12. We lose to Adelaide in the semi-final on a 6-day break, which is a bit of a stitch. While we're on a 6-day break.
Yep.
And I think Adelaide had played in the morning on the Saturday.
Yep.
We're playing Saturday night.
Sydney gave him a pantsing.
Why isn't the game on a Saturday? Yep. Like, why is it on a Friday night? I understand both sides are on a 6-day break, but if the Dockers are travelling Victoria back to WA, then to Adelaide, stitch up. Mate, 11-5 to 12-9, and we're up by 27 points, like I mentioned before, in the 16-minute mark of the second quarter. So, mate, in terms of the Doig, Creepy Crowley becomes the best tagger in the competition and probably is a little bit unrecognised as a great tagger. Maine, second. MJ third.
Oh boy.
Pav fourth. Luke McFarlane fifth. Mundy sixth. Hill seventh. DeBoer eighth. Barlow ninth. And Clancy tenth.
Mm.
So top 10, very like a couple of worker bees, a couple of key position players, and some real grunters in Crowley and Maine, mate. If you told me 2 years beforehand or the year previous that these guys would finish 1-2 in the Doig and we'd make it to a semi final, like, if you're saying Maine and Crowley are coming 1-2 in your Doig, you're probably like, oh my God, did we finish last?
Mm.
Like, what the hell happened? Like, Crowley was starting to become a tagger, but he just really became a renowned tagger. So much so that Gary Ablett absolutely hates him.
Yeah.
Which is pretty funny. Luke McFarlane, the only All-Australian at centre-half back, I believe. Best clubman, Tendai Mazungu.
Yeah.
The Beacon Award won by Lee Spur at the age of 25. So very old Beacon, but lighting the way. Players Player, for the very first time, the Players Player Award was
announced. Should have got the Rising Star, mate.
Chris Mayne, I think he was ineligible. Monday didn't win. Should have. Chris Mayne, mate, the Players Player for the first time ever. The Goal Kickers, Pav kicked 69, Mayne 39, Ballas 31, and Sonny 22, mate. And Sun Walters, the man they call Sun Walters, why is that? No one knows.
Yeah.
Mate, you know, with Sonny in the team, we went 8-2.
Oh, boy.
Because remember, he's banished at the start of the season.
Yeah.
He's banished, mate, back to Swan Districts.
That's right. It came up.
Overweight.
Yeah.
Told, mate, lose some weight or you're not coming back to Dockers. Gets into fighting shape, fit, you know, tip-top shape.
Yeah.
Comes back. I watched his first game back against Melbourne, in Melbourne.
Yes.
And, mate, absolutely awesome at the Telstra Dome.
Very good.
Killed it. And from then on,
you can wearing see
number 38 as well.
Yeah, you can see he's going to be a player.
Got very interesting hair.
The salad I just thought that.
The salad's interesting.
Sort of very similar to what the young cats are wearing now, with obviously the shaved sides, like Manningly cut your sideburns type haircut with the moulet at the back, but he didn't have the moulet. And you could see the beginnings of the ink.
Yes, and they're like, he likes a bit of ink.
Yeah, wait.
They commented on the ink, mate. They commented on the ink. He didn't have the neck tattoo, did he? No,
he didn't have the neck tattoo.
Can't say I'm a fan of the ink like that. But anyway, I mean, it suits Sonny. You wouldn't know what he'd look like without it, I guess.
But it's a bit weird. The absolute class of the young man. Oh.
Unbelievable.
Now, do we get to our 22?
We didn't. Mate, I didn't even write one down.
I've got one here, mate. I'm prepared.
Okay, you prepared. You give your 22,
mate. All right, fullback. I've got MJ Hamling Ryan. Halfback, I've got Wilson, the Matrix, and Duffield. Centre, I've got Hill, Crowley, Ibo. Half forward, Ibo's run, mate. He looks very silk in this game. Half forward, Walters, Mayne, Hogan. Mayne played a good game.
Big Hoags.
Big Hoags, mate. We're going to get to Hoags in a second.
Woo! There's Hoags chat on the listeners' questions, mate. Oh, so we'll leave it till then. Should we hold the bus on the Hoags?
Hold the bus. Full forward, I got Ballantyne, Pavlich, and Bradley. Mm. Bradley, by the way, was dumped for the next game against Adelaide Crows. I thought he should have played. And followers.
No lob?
No, hang on. I've got followers, Sandilands, Fife, and Mundy. In interchange, I've got Barlow, Logue, and Lob. Now, and the sub. In the spirit of this game, I've got Matty DeBoer.
Oh, we're soups, mate.
No, mate. I know he was the super sub, And shout out to Subs.
The sub. That's such a good... I mean, the sub is so crap, man.
Well, Lachie Neal was a sub in the GF. I mean, we're going to talk about this soon.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
Should have started. Mate. But look... yep. Good team, mate. This 2012... this game, like... I mean, I said to you... I said a few things that I can't repeat on the air, but... this game actually got me up and about for this season. Like, I think Longmuir, and I don't want to tell anyone what to do, but this is my opinion. He should actually have a replay of this game and show it to the lads and go, this is where it's at. This is what the ferocity at the contest, sticking to the game plan, this is what, you know, being a true Docker is about. And every player on that team has a crack.
Yeah.
Mate, unbelievable.
This is the thing I'm actually a little bit worried about, Oz, is that I feel like our brand is that brand of football. And I think that I'm worried that we will go away from that brand and then we become lost. Because you think about
what is the brand
of the Dockers? And I think that's one of the big things that Ross Lyon instilled is that culture of we are a blue-collar team.
Yeah.
We're hardworking. It's effort. It's all about effort. Effort, effort, effort. Now, that... is a little bit of a problem because it's become a highly skilled game and skills weren't a...
Well, that's thing.
Hopefully we get that balance of effort and skills under Longmuir.
Yeah, look, I agree. I think there needs to be a little bit of a change and that's what J-Lo's trying to do. And you've got to remember, he's got to put his flavour on the team as well, which I'm very much looking forward to. But, you know, the intricacies of what Ross had with that game plan, you know, that, you know, hardness at the contest, you know, the, you know... don't take a step back, you know, that sort of philosophy.
Yeah.
You know, you can still hold that mantra. You can still hold to that mantra. There's no reason why we can't do that. But yeah, add little skills here that J-Lo's bringing in. And his mindset and his understanding of... don't forget, he's got experience across the board, mate. He's been forwards, he's been backs, he's been in the mids, he's been rucks. Like, he's done everything. So trust the process more so than what they do in Philly. But trust the process. And, mate, I'm telling you, this year, more so than any, has the potential of being the most Dockery Docker premiership of all time. Are you not telling me, Duck, that in an era where there's a pandemic and really we probably shouldn't be playing football for the sake of health and making sure we don't spread? But are you telling me that this is not the season that we could get up and win a premiership?
Short quarters, no red time goals.
Mate,
could be anything.
No red time goals.
I kind of don't get the shorter quarters, though. Yeah. I don't really like it. No. Anyway. All right, Oz, your music quiz. Oh, I better write this down because I want to go 10 from 10, mate.
Now, I'm going with the 10 that's listed here. I haven't had time to do the full research, mate. I'm going to be honest with you. So I'm going to count down from 10 down. Starting off with number 10, are you ready to go? So you just give me the heads up.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Here we go. Liking that one?
Yeah, that's good. Oh, yeah.
Two bangers to start with. Number 8. I've always liked this drum intro. Just simple. Alright, next one. Yeah, banger. Number 6. Never got this one. It's a tough one, this one.
I got no chance with this one.
Number 5. Good. Number 4. Yeah, love this one. Just going to wait for the bass here just a little longer. This is a good one, this one. Yeah. Yeah, good one. Number 3. Kind of similar to Khalid. Number 2. And number one.
Hey, Macklemore, can we go thrift shopping?
Okay. You know what I might do? I might just let this sit in the background for a little bit.
All right, mate. This is what I've got. I don't know 6 and 4. Number 5 is that band that sings Little Lion Men, but I couldn't remember the name of them.
Yep. Oh, I go from 10.
Okay, 10. My Gun, but I don't know who sings it.
The Rubens. Yeah.
Number 9, Feels Like It Only Goes Backwards by Tame Impala.
Correct.
And Arctic Monkeys do a really great cover of that as well. Lost by Frank Ocean.
That's correct.
Elephant by Tame Impala.
Correct.
Don't know the 6.
Get Free, Major Lazer, Amber of Dirty Projectors.
Number 5, what are they called? Who sing Little
Mumford and Sons.
Oh, Mumford and Sons. What's the song like?
I Will Wait.
Number 4, No Clue.
Holding On by Flume.
Oh, yeah.
Hip,
yeah,
shake, butt, butt.
Alt J, number 3.
Yeah.
And some triangles or
Breeze
something.
Blocks.
Breeze Blocks. Two, is that off Monsters and Men?
Yes, it is. Little Talks.
Yeah. And number 1, Thrift Shop by Macklemore.
Mate, you're on fire.
Well, they did say the name of the song.
Yeah, so. True, but yeah.
All right, guys, thank you very much for listening. Remember, we are at we're at PurpleRay95 on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. If you want to ask us a question, jump on our Facebook, guys. I know there's a few people who don't do Facebook, so you can slide into our DMs on Twitter and Instagram if you're on those. Just do it before Monday at, oh, I meant Tuesday at 3 o'clock. Next week, guys, we will do the qualifying final versus Geelong.
We got shot.
2013, down in Cat in Your Pack. We'll be watching that game and we'll talk all things 2013.
Oh, mate, I'm very excited.
I might even watch the grand final again, Oz.
No, it's not happening for me.
No, not happening for you. All right, guys, be safe, stay well, and yeah, look after yourself.
See you later.